Today's message is on the sovereignty of God. And I've picked for a scripture that starts out, Psalm 115, verse 3. But our God is in heaven, he does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths but do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. And I wanted to change that. I wanted to maintain the integrity of the scripture, but I wanted to say America. He is their help and their shield, our help and our shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both great and small. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. Most of you know that I do not avoid controversy. In fact, there are a lot of times that I have to pull my foot out of my mouth. So in light of that preparation, I'm going to offend some of you right now. Neither the Democratic Party or their presidential candidate can save America. Now I'm going to offend probably most of the rest of you. Neither the Republican Party or the Republican presidential candidate can save America. Only God can save America. Now, I borrowed that line. So I'm going to give credit to Franklin Graham because that was the opening to the Decision America Montana tour in Helena. But when he said that, I had to step back in my mind a little bit and think, wow, all the discussion and all the controversy that's going on right now about who's the best, who should not lead our country. But I guess for a minute or two or several months, I'd really lost sight of the fact that the best for our country is a sovereign God. There's a scene in a Civil War motion picture that was titled Gods and Generals that's really telling. The movie follows the rise and fall of the Civil War hero, General Thomas Jackson, and it does not try to hide his Christianity. Throughout the picture, Jackson's dependence on God is shown, but never more striking than in the early morning hours of July 21st, 1861, prior to the first battle of Bull Run. As the glimmers of dawn broke forth, Jackson called out to God, and he prayed and asked that his will be done. Almost immediately, things did not go well for the outnumbered Confederate army. The Union forces quickly overpowered them. The Confederate line broke and an all-out retreat ensued. Several Confederate brigades ran to the next line of reinforcement, which was held by Jackson's brigade. Morale was all but gone, and as the retreating soldiers swarmed Jackson's position, with the Union Army on their heels, someone yelled out over the din of the battle, the men telling them, "Look at Jackson." At that moment, General Jackson was sitting erect in the saddle with cannon fire exploding all around him. His hand was wounded by a musket ball. Nevertheless, he didn't flinch. Word spread among the men, "Look at Jackson standing like a stone wall." From then on, he would be known as Stonewall Jackson. He paced with his horse back and forth across the battlefield with musket balls flying and whizzing through the air. But his stunning bravery stirred his men to valor, and they turned and now faced the advancing Union forces with new resolve. At the end of the day, General Jackson returned to the battlefield to survey the losses. 111 Confederate soldiers dead, 373 missing. Weary and sad, Jackson knelt down beside the body of a dead soldier. And it was then that one of his captains asked him, "General, how is it you can keep so serene and stay so utterly insensible with a storm of shells and bullets about your head?" Jackson replied, "Captain Smith, my religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself with that, but I concern myself with being always ready whenever it may overtake me. If this was the way that all men lived, then all men would be equally brave." That was a story by Ronald Maxwell in Preaching Today magazine. See, Stonewall Jackson was declaring that his belief that God ruled over the details of his life, even the flight of bullets and shrapnel, but that his bravery was based on that belief. A.W. Pink wrote in the book, The Attributes of God, "God is God in fact, as well as in name. He is on the throne of the universe, directing all things, working all things according to the counsel of his perfect will." Basically, what General Jackson told his captain is, "I'm invincible until God's through with me." But I'll tell you, no doctrine is more despised by most people than the truth that God is absolutely sovereign. Human pride just loathes this suggestion that God orders everything, controls everything, rules over everything. The carnal mind burns with enmity against God. It abhors the biblical teaching that nothing comes to pass except according to his eternal plans. Most of all, the flesh hates the notion that salvation is entirely God's work. If God chose who would be saved, and if his choice was settled before the foundation of the world, then believers have no credit for their salvation. It is strictly a gift. But that is precisely what Scripture teaches. Even faith is God's gracious gift to his elect. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father unless it has been granted him from the Father. No one comes to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Therefore, no one who is saved has anything to boast about. Salvation is from the Lord." If you were to look up the word sovereign in the dictionary, you would find words and phrases like superior, greatest, supreme in power and authority, ruler, independent of all others. Those are just a few of the things in the definition. But the way I like to explain God's sovereignty is best to simply say, God is in control. There's absolutely nothing that happens in this universe that is outside of God's influence and His authority. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God has no limitations. Consider a few claims the Bible makes about God. God is above all things and before all things. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is immortal, and He is present everywhere so that everyone can know Him. Revelation 21:6. God created all things and holds all things together, both in heaven and on earth, both visible and invisible. Colossians 1:16. And God knows all things, past, present, and future. There is no limit to His knowledge, for God knows everything completely before it happens. Romans 11:33. God declares the end from the beginning, saying, "My purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure." Isaiah 46:10. He is not subject to others' decisions. His purpose for choosing some and rejecting others are hidden in the secret counsels of His own will. Moreover, everything that exists in the universe exists because God allowed it. He created it. He decreed it. He called it into existence. The other night I went to the window and I looked out. It's about 1 a.m. We have a lot of deer that come behind our house and eat apples. And lately there hasn't been many falling, so I helped some fall. But for some reason, I just felt impressed to go look. The light hadn't come on, so I didn't think the deer were there. And as I looked, I saw the most magnificent sky in the east. There were clusters of stars that almost looked like I could see galaxies. And I thought, how awesome a God that could create and put all those stars and planets and suns in place and then call them by name. He does what He pleases, Psalm 115. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does in heaven and in earth, in the seas and the depths. He works all things after the counsel of His will. From Him and through Him and to Him are all things. For us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things and we exist for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom all things and we exist through Him. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Admittedly, those truths are hard for the human mind to embrace. But Scripture is absolute truth. God controls all things, right down to controlling who will be saved. Paul states this doctrine in inescapable terms in the 9th chapter of Romans, by showing that God chose Jacob and rejected his twin brother Esau, though the twins were not yet even born. They had not done anything good or bad, but in order that God's perfect will would be completed, that His purposes would be completed, He chose. A few verses later, Paul adds this. He says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." So it doesn't depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but it only depends on God's perfect will and mercy. Scripture affirms both divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Wrong direction. We must accept both sides of that truth. Though we don't always understand, in fact, most of the time we don't understand how they correspond to one another. People are responsible what they do with the gospel. They're responsible in what light they have. I love that in the song, one of the songs this morning. It talked about being in the light. So that punishment is just if they reject the light. And those who do that voluntarily. Jesus lamented, "You are unwilling to come to me that you may have life," in John 40. He told unbelievers, "Unless you believe that I am God, you shall die in your sins." In John chapter 6, our Lord combined both divine sovereignty and human responsibility when he said, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me, I certainly will not cast out. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes of him may have eternal life. No one who comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. And no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father." How both of those realities can be simultaneously true is very difficult for the human mind to comprehend. But God comprehends it. And above all, I think we must not conclude that God isn't fair. In Romans 11:33, the apostle writes, "Oh, the depths and riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and unfathomable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor?" Do you imagine being in Job's position when God said, "Were you there when I created the heavens, the earth, the stars?" So how would you know his thinking? God can do all things. He can accomplish all things. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is too difficult for him. And he orchestrates and determines everything that is going to happen in your life and mine. He orchestrates everything that's going to happen in America and throughout the world. Whatever he wants to do in the universe, he does. For as I said, nothing is impossible for him. God is in control of all things and rules over all things. He has the power and authority over nature, earthly kings, history, angels, demons. Even Satan himself has to ask God's permission before he can act. Psalm 103:19. That's what being sovereign means. It means being the ultimate source of all power, authority, and everything that exists. And you know something? Only God can make that claim. It's God's sovereignty that makes him superior to all other gods and makes him and him alone worthy of praise. Just as peasants always bowed before their king for fear of offending the one who had the authority to take their life, God's sovereignty compels us to bow before him and his will. But unlike corrupt earthly kings and leaders who abuse their authority for greed, personal gain, and power over their subjects or citizens, God rules in love. He loves you, and he wants the absolute best for you. Romans 8:28 promises, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Now that's an amazing promise, not only because it demonstrates that an all-powerful God cares about you and me, but because it cannot be fulfilled unless the one who gives it is all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, and all-loving. The promise itself is a testimony to God's sovereignty. But God makes that promise, and millions throughout history have testified to its truth, because God has proven his ability to back it up time and time again. Think about the implications of that promise for a minute. Because God is sovereign and he loves you, nothing will ever come into your life that he does not either decree or allow. Consequently, no matter what you face in life, you can take comfort in the fact that God is sovereign. And God knows perfectly well that our nation is deteriorating. As I thought about today's date, and I visualized the Twin Towers collapsing into a pile of debris and dust 15 years ago today, I thought, wow, today it's not buildings that are collapsing, it's the entire nation. Rampant sexual immorality, abortion, changing God's laws. Our nation is collapsing. And although God is totally sovereign over everything that happens and is going to happen, we can do something. When I talked about his sovereignty, I also talked about responsibility. The first thing we can do is humble ourselves, seek God's face, and pray. The second thing is we can fast and turn from our wicked ways. We can return to the Lord our God. And we can plead for God's mercy to heal, to hear our prayers, forgive our sins, and heal our land. And we should do all of those things every day. You see, we have the privilege on November 8th of taking a stand for our biblical beliefs and our values at the ballot box. That's the American way. We have a privilege and we have a responsibility. We should make it a priority to know the candidates, know what they believe, know what they stand for, what platform they stand on. Pray for wisdom and discernment, and pray for God's will to be done. Nothing less than God's blessing or judgment is at stake right now in this nation. As we look back through history, every time the people of God, the Israelites, drifted away from believing that he was sovereign, that he was God, drifted away from following the law, the precepts, judgment came. And he used some very severe judgments. Is that where we're heading as a nation? We need to follow those things. We need to pray. We need to exercise our responsibility as Christians and vote. And may God bless America. Do you have a closing song?
Please stand for a closing song.
Treasure, how great the pain of sin is. his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me.
I'd like to close a little differently today, and I need your help. I'd like to close in a prayer that we all know, especially for our country. So if you would join me in the Our Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You are dismissed.